2 Peter chapter 1, and Miss Lynn's going to take the children downstairs. So if y'all would, kids, grab your stuff and go with her, and she's going to minister to you, and y'all have a good time. Second Peter chapter 1. I'll give you all a chance to get there. Let's read the verse I wanted to read here. Let's read verse 12 and 13, and I'll let you be seated. Peter writes here, "Wherefore I will not be neglected to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Lord, I thank you this morning for these fine folks you've brought out. Lord God, that they're here this morning where they need to be. I thank you we have the infallible Word of God, the truth before us. That, Lord, we don't have to doubt. We know, Lord, what your Word says. I pray that you'd help me this morning to be a minister. Push me aside. Speak through me, Lord. That we may receive the blessing you have for us today. I pray for someone here, Lord God, that's gotten away from you or never been saved, Lord, never known the free pardon of sin. Today would be the day that you would convict their heart, get them right with you, Lord, make things right with you, Holy God. Lord, we need your help today. That's why we're here. Lord, we need you. We thank you and we love you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I read those two verses because I think every now and again we need to be stirred up as Christians. You get to a place in your Christian walk and your Christian life where you get complacent with things that's going on. You sit in the same church with the same folks, the same times, and everything's okay. But sometimes God does things to stir things up, and we don't understand that, but I want you to understand this morning that it's not me that's stirring you up, it's God's Word. So what we read here in 2 Peter chapter 1 will be that a lot of folks don't like change. And that was going to be my message today, and God moved me here, but it still wound up being about change. God is God. He's never going to change. He's always the same. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, I believe it is, says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's never going to change. He's always been the same God. But we do change. Everything changes. God. So get that picture in your mind this morning. We're going to read from verse 1 to about where I was there. We're going to go back and look at it. God never changes, but He is a God of change. If everything stayed the same, nothing would happen. Just think about it. God, in Genesis 1, in the beginning God, there was God. He didn't change. He's always been. And then He started creating things. He started changing things. If you look around at the world today, everything changes. The seasons change. It's summertime now. Thank God when the fall will get here. It'll change. It'll get a little cooler. But see, things change. Even we change. These children will not be children forever. They'll grow into teenagers, and they go through changes then. They'll grow into adults, and they'll go through changes then. Adults go through changes the older they get. A lot of us don't like changes, but God is all about change. God's changed some things around here lately. Some of us may not like it. Some of us might like it, but I thought I'd just look back at some scripture, if you would, in the book of Genesis. I mentioned Adam. He changed from the dust of the earth and made a man. That was a big change. None of us would be here without that type of change. From sinful Adam, after the fall in the garden of Adam and Eve, from sinful Adam, God made a change. He clothed him with the coats of animal skin into righteous man. That was a change. I believe the book of Corinthians says that If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's you being changed. We change daily. You don't believe it, you husbands, see how your wife is today and see how she is tomorrow. Amen. Women change like that. Amen. That'll help you this morning. Abraham, think. This is all Scripture. I'm not going back and read every verse to you, but if you know your Bible, you know it. Abraham was changed from a sinful, wicked idol worshiper to a servant of God, the father of many nations. That was changed. We have to accept change. And if you can accept change, you can grow in the Lord. If you never accept change, you'll never grow in the Lord. I'm going to get into 2 Peter. David. David was changed from a little shepherd boy watching the sheep out in the back country to the king of Israel. That was a big change for him. He was changing from a shepherd boy to a mighty warrior. He slew Goliath with a sling. Pretty big change, huh? Paul. I think about Paul. I was going to preach out of some of his epistles this morning, but I went to Peter. God led me there. Paul was changed from a self-righteous, sinful, wicked man who thought he was being a servant of God, but he was actually a slave of sin. When he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he was changed then into a saved man who served God. There's a difference. A lot of folks think they're serving God, but they're full of self-righteousness. They're not doing nothing. They're doing it for their self. That'll help you this morning, too. It's free. All right, let's look at 2 Peter. It's always been, God is constantly putting us through changes to get us where we need to be. If you never went through anything in your life, whether it be good or bad, you would never get to where God wants you to be. And He does it for another reason, is to get you where you need to be for God and make you what you should be for Him. It's a shame that folks get saved and just sit on the pew and do nothing, and they grow stagnant and stale, if you would, in God's Word. So Peter writes here, I'm going to put you in remembrance of some things to stir you up this morning, even though you know them. It's going to stir you up. God is a God of change. I've heard preachers say sometimes that God don't like change. God loves change. God don't want things to stay. If God had things stay the same as they are now, we'd never get to heaven. Amen. The Scripture is being fulfilled as we sit here in church this morning. And it's changing. It's changing until the fulfillment of the Scripture, the end of time. And then we'll all be in heaven. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. He's reflecting back and looking, and he's writing something here. I can relate to Peter because Peter was he was just an old fisherman. And he met Jesus Christ, and Jesus changed him from being a fisherman to a fisher of men. There's no telling how many people have been won to the Lord by Peter back in his time, but even these times, as they read and study or listen to the preaching and teaching, out of the books of Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he said, I'm speaking to you who have the like precious faith with us. As Brother Darrell taught this morning, of being in Christ, as Paul said, that's where we're at. But Peter said, you've got something precious. You've got the same kind of faith that I have in the same man that I do through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I like the way he words that too. A lot of folks believe in God. They don't put their trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So you have to believe in Christ to get to God. I believe the Scripture says that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're going to get to heaven, you've got to go through Jesus to get there. That's Bible. There ain't no other way of putting it. I mean, it's plain and simple. But reflect back, if you want to look at change and why things happen, you have to kind of look back at where you were. I can remember a time when God changed me to what I am now. I'm not perfect. None of you in here are, right? Amen? There's something wrong with all of us today. Me and my wife was talking about that this morning on the way into church. You know, why do we always pick our way to church to start talking about people. You always do that. Right? You can be in a good mood and have breakfast and have a good night's rest, but on the drive over to church, you get talking about somebody. And there wasn't nobody in the church. But you get thinking, and her comment was exactly right. She hit the nail on the head. There's something wrong with all of us. I thought that's wonderful. I could point out people in here, and I'm not going to do that, but there's something wrong with all. There's something wrong with me this morning. My mind ain't right half the time. My old body hurts all the time. I was up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with a toothache last night. I was praying, God help me. I got to be able to preach this morning. Satan was just using that for a hindrance. He's done that to me before, and he'll do it again. And he's going to hinder you from getting to church any way he can. Anything he can put in your way as an obstacle to keep you from getting here, he'll do it. Just step a little higher and overstep him. He says, we obtained this light, precious faith. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Brother Darrell mentioned that this morning in his teaching as well, that some of those other religious cults, if you would, believe that God just has enough grace for this person and that person, and you only get so much grace. God's grace, you can never exhaust it. Amen. I believe the Scripture says in one place where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He's full of grace and mercy and truth. There's enough to go around for everybody, and there's more than you need. He told Paul, he said, no matter what you're going through, my grace is sufficient for you. It'll get you through it. But if you want your grace and peace to be multiplied, it's going to be, as verse 2 says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You have to come to Him to receive that, the knowledge. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about this morning. Peter says here that if you've been purchased by this precious blood of Jesus Christ, you have this same like precious faith that He has. And you go to Him to have your grace and peace multiplied unto you. And verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is a promise of God here in verse 3 and 4. As according to His divine power. The divine power that's in you this morning as a Christian is the Holy Spirit. You have that in you, Dave. You can't get rid of it. I like it. You're saved, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Some folks believe you, when you get saved, you can lose your salvation. That's absolutely false. It don't line up with the Word of God anywhere. What lines up with the Word of God is you have been sealed with that Spirit of promise once you've been saved. It's in you. That's what He's talking about here, that divine power that He had given you. Everybody has it. Some folks don't know how to use it. Some folks suppress it. Some folks grieve it. If you just let the Holy Spirit work in you, that's what you call living by faith. Christians today have a problem with that. That's why they don't accept change and endure change. They don't live by the Spirit. I don't like what's going on around here no better than anybody else does. But I live with it. I trust God to take care of it. I live by faith. Things is going to get much better than they were. God has great things for us. I looked up a verse of Scripture and it's misquoted so many times. Jeremiah 29:11 is speaking of the Jews as they were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. They was in a bad place, in a bad way. But it was because of their sin. And Jeremiah says that, the Lord says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." This is what God's thinking about us today, saith the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Seek me, you shall seek me, and you shall find me, when you search for me with all your heart." That's our problem today again, is we don't trust Him with all our heart. We don't seek for Him with all our heart. We don't use that divine power that He's given us. He said, I'm going to read right on down. Y'all read along with me. "Unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." If you want to have a good life and live right, you have to use that divine power He's given you through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. This is God's promise to you, that if you trust in Him, it's a Christian virtue that'll help you to grow in Him, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What we need is right here in these two verses, to live by the Spirit, the divine power that He has given us already that pertaineth unto life, that helps us to live right, that helps us to live godly, if you would, and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is what gets most folks in trouble today. And I don't say that in a bad way. Lust can be lust of anything. The Scripture uses three things that lust is. Lust of your eyes, and lust of your flesh, and the pride of life. That's another form of lust. That's what will get you in trouble quicker than anything. The lust of your eyes. I mentioned a couple weeks back that the eyes are the windows to your heart. They see. So what you look at daily gets down into your heart, and that's what you think upon. So if we can escape these worldly lusts, we can grow closer to God. He said in verse 5, and beside this, give all diligence. Diligence is something that we have to succeed. Diligence is a word that a lot of people overlook and misunderstand because they don't understand it. Its meaning is just a constant, earnest effort that you put forth to accomplish a task or goal that's put in front of you. To be diligent at something. A lot of folks, they don't want to be diligent about anything. As Brother Darrell said this morning, I'm saved, there ain't nothing I can do about to change it. Even if I didn't want to be saved, I'm just going to wait till I die and go to heaven. Well, that's not being diligent to be a better Christian. See, if God chose you and saved you, He has a plan for you already. It may be to get one of your family members saved. Tell them about Jesus. It may be to tell one of your co-workers about Jesus. It may be to witness to your children or your grandchildren that don't know the Lord yet, but they see it in you, to get them saved. It's His will that not any should perish. Amen. So He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You know, you have to have faith to be saved, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Brother Darrell quoted that verse this morning. Brother Darrell done some preaching this morning in Sunday school. Amen. But you've got to have faith. The Scripture says that each man is dealt a measure of faith. Everybody has faith in something, and you have so much of it. Some folks have more than others. You know, with the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can what? Move a mountain. Amen? That's little. A mustard seed is tiny. Tiny little seed. But some folks just don't have no faith. And some folks have that little bit of faith, but their faith is weak. They go to the Lord in prayer about something, and they say, even before they get there, God knows what they're going to pray, and they're not going to ask God, will you do it? They're going to ask God, can you do it? Well, God can do anything. Amen? He's nothing's impossible through Christ Jesus. Their faith. Give diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is one of those things that escapes the world today. Virtue is having moral uprightness or morals. Most folks in the world today got no morals. That's why you see all the junk you see. You see it on television. You hear it on the radio. It's even in the schoolhouses today. The kids wire what they want to wire, don't care. It used to be you get in trouble at school for having a pocket knife. Now they collect automatic pistols and stuff. They have no morals. No more. Well, what's that got to do with morals? Well, they were not brought up right. They don't care. No morals. You develop morals from your upbringing. That's why it's important to bring your children up the right way, and they know right from wrong. But morals, add to your faith virtue, morals, spiritual morals. You know, as a Christian, what's right and what's wrong. And it goes back even further than that. As a child, you know right from wrong. You're born with that instinct. You're a born sinner, but you're also born with an instinct of knowing right from wrong. Dave Chloe knows what's right and what's wrong. She knows already what she can get by with. Amen? See, you look at it, you see it all around you. Even a dog, and we're all dogs, they know right from wrong. God put it in them. It's in animals. We're talking about things this morning that were not scriptural. And Brother Chris mentioned a church that's falling apart and going downhill because they took in some false doctrine about some things that don't line up with the Word of God. And even if you look at the animal kingdom, that stuff don't line up with the Word of God. So I'm not going to go no further with that, but if it don't line up with this book, it's wrong. It's plain and simple. No matter what it is or who's teaching it, if it don't line up with this book, don't listen to it. Get rid of it. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That's where this book comes in. All knowledge is in Christ Jesus. He is knowledge. He is wisdom. Read the book of Proverbs. It all points to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. In God is hid everything. In His Son, Jesus Christ, is the wisdom of God. If you want to know about God, you have to go through Jesus Christ. To get there, you have to go through Him, right? Well, to know about Him, you have to go through Him. You have to go to Him. Wisdom, knowledge, knowledge. Some people are so smart, they're ignorant. Amen? Y'all know some folks like that. They're so smart, they can't even tie their own shoes. I've worked with some folks before, and I know all of you have done the same thing, that you get around these people and they know everything about everything, and don't matter what you've done, they've done it, and they've done it better. The folks like that, they're just ignorant. They have no will about them and no morals about them, because they're all about their self. They're all about their... I like listening to what people's been through and what they've done, because it helps me. Brother Tim might have done something to a car that I ain't never done, and this is out there, but if I listen to him tell how he fixed that car when one of mine tears up, I'll know how to do it, or I'll have a little inclination. You learn by listening. If you're flapping your chops all the time, you don't hear nothing. You don't hear nothing. I believe the Scripture says that we should be slow to wrath, quick to hear. You let your hearing open your ears sometimes. Even when you pray, as Christians, and I'm guilty of it as anybody is, and I want to have my prayer time. I get in there and get down on my knees and I ask God to forgive me and thank Him for the day like we should. And then I start just praying away and praying away. And before I realize it, I get... Well, I ain't even hearing nothing He's saying to me, because I'm doing all the talking. Amen? Sometimes we need to just get down on your knees and shut up and listen to God. Amen? I'm serious. It happens out, and you know it. That's just the way it is. These preachers, it's like me. I talk too much sometimes. I cut messages short. I get away from what I'm supposed to be preaching because I try to follow the Lord. But I believe if you got too much to say about nothing, you might as well shut up and sit down anyway. Amen? That's just the way it is. God's Word, He said, to knowledge, and add to your knowledge, temperance. Temperance. I believe I preached a couple weeks ago about keeping your mind on things of God and things for to keep in our mind good things. But these sort of line up with that, and I didn't realize that to the day, but thinking on these things, but temperance. A lot of folks don't have that. Temperance will help you It's self-control. It's what temperance is. Probably most of us in here ain't got it. It's easy to lose control of yourself. Self-control. So we need to have some self-control. And to temperance, patience. None of us have got that. Oh, God help us. We stopped at this Sonics up here yesterday, and I was impatient. I wanted my slushy and to get gone. And the lady made me feel like a fool. I sat there waiting, and it's hot. Had the air conditioning on, but the window's down because no air is stirring. And she finally come out there, the little old girl, and got my wife and I one of them slushy drinks, and it was like $1.69. And I had $3. I gave it to her. Said, "There you go, keep the change." She said, "I'm so sorry y'all had to sit here in this heat." I said, "Y'all have a blessed, blessed day." Amen. And her, that coming from her, and me sitting there being self-righteous as I am, and no patience, no temperance, and her saying that, I thought, boy, she just convicted you, didn't she? Amen. We need to have patience with folks. Things just don't happen like that unless God does it. Then you have patience. And to your patience, goodness. Goodness. We have to be goodness or godliness, as it said here, to one another. And it says, verse 7, and godliness, brother, to godliness, brother, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. All these things go hand in hand about loving your neighbor and loving your brother. I believe the Scripture says, how can you love your brother who you have seen, and you say you love me who you hadn't seen? There's so much fake stuff today. It'll make you sick if you get to thinking about it, how people will tell you, I love the Lord, and I love the house of God, and then they don't show up. That's fake. That's fake. Jesus called them hypocrites. Ain't no other word for it. Some of us, well, I don't want to go down to church because there's enough hypocrites down there already. Well, come on in. There's room for one more. That's why I'm here. Hey, Jesus, He spoke plain to them, them Pharisees. He said, all y'all do is stand up and pray where everybody can hear you. You want everybody to see you. You make a big deal about yourself. And you say you love me with your mouth. You speak great swelling words about me, but your heart is far away from me. You don't care nothing about me. I care about y'all. I do. I care about y'all folks. And that's why I try to keep my heart right and do my best to study God's Word where you get what He gives me. I just hate stuff that's fake. There's going to be some men come in here that's going to preach to you, and they ain't going to have nothing to them but what they read out of this book, and they want a job. That's all it's going to be. It's going to be fake. I don't care if you like that or not. I just don't got no use for nobody who's fake. If you want to come in here and tell me you love me and you're glad to be here, that's fine. I love you for it. But if you're going to get out the door and talk about me or somebody in the church, you ain't got no business here. That's fake. Amen. It's fake. Brotherly kindness. That's what he's talking about. Brotherly kindness and charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Wow, that's something good. That means that you're gonna win people to God. You're gonna have what you need. God's gonna take care of you. God takes care of us anyway. Think about it. Nobody in here went hungry today. Some of you may be hungry right now. I'll hurry up before you can get out of here and eat. Everybody in here's got clothes on, got shoes on their feet. God takes care of His people. We may not have everything we want, because He knows that some of it would hurt us if we had it. But we certainly don't have what we deserve. You know what we deserve this morning? Is hell. Every one of us. Every one of us deserve hell. He says, "For you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I said all that to get to here. Verse 9. And Peter's writing this to people who have, we looked at verse 1, who have the like precious faith. In other words, the same faith he does. But he gets here to verse 9 and he's saying, and I'll just read it to you and you see what he says. But he that lacketh these things, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now he's not saying that this man is lost his salvation. He's saying that this man was such a false professor of religion or salvation that he thought he was saved, but he never was to start with. Look how it's worded. He that lacketh these things, what things? Well, a man that lacks true love, true virtue, diligence, faith, knowledge, temperance, patience. These are all fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. If you lack these, in other words, if you don't have them, that's what he says, is you're blind. Blind is lost. You've never been saved to start with. If you don't have any of these things of God in you, you're lost. A lot of folks are professors of religion. I'm using the word religion loosely because there's so many types of religion out there. I mean, we should just do away with that word and either say it's salvation or not salvation. Religion don't have anything to do with it. Amen? But some people are so steeped in their religion that and have a profession of religion, but they have no possession of salvation. In other words, they have nothing of the fruit of the Spirit in them at all. He that lacketh these things is blind. This man could, as the Pharisees did, and some still do today, they'll stand up and they'll boast of everything that they've done and everything that they can do. And all they're doing is boasting of their self. Self-righteousness. That's all it is. That's what sends people to hell. Their self-righteousness. They think that they're doing something for God or they've done something for God in the past and they're going to heaven. I got news for you, friend, this morning. Your self-righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, as the Scripture says. It will send you to hell fast. They can boast of their righteousness, and some folks even value it. These TV preachers are notorious about that. They get up and they boast about how they built this church and got this big ministry started and got all these things going on and how much wealth they have, and all they're doing is promoting themselves, and they place value on it, and they even rely on it for their salvation. They're going to hell. Paul says it, and Peter says it here, that if they lack things that come from the Spirit of God, he calls it up here from the divine power, the things that come from God Himself, they are blind and cannot see afar off. Anywhere they can see, how he's using that, where they're at. I like that. And the reason I mention change, a lot of folks are happy with where they're at. They get to that place and they think, well, I'm okay right here. Well, you better be careful and not get complacent with that, because you may not be where God wants you to be yet. Some folks have sat in church, Dave, for 15, 20 years, and they've been faithful to come to church. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. Coming to church is a good thing. But the whole time they sat there in church, they've been flooded with religion and ceremonial things that pertain to God and the Word of God. And it's just covered them up, and they've got so covered with it that they're covering themselves with religion. Religion will not get you there. It's salvation. You've got to get a hold. He said, he that lacketh these things is blind. He's lost. They rely on it to be saved on it. These folks can live the way they want to live and think that anything they do is okay. Brother Darrell mentioned that this morning. Some of those Calvinist folks that think that once they're saved, they're okay. They can live like the devil. They're still going to heaven. It won't change. Well, that's wrong. Number one, if you're saved, you're not going to want to live like the devil no more, because you'll be changed. Amen? Change. The knowledge of God is what changes, says in Christ Jesus. And the God of all grace, His blood, His true blood covenant is what saves us. His communion with Him, fellowship with Him. Peter writes here, he says, he had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The old sinful man Adam is gone. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again. Diligence. You need all that you can get, diligence. You need to work at being a Christian. It ain't easy. I'm telling you. I know the Scripture says that the life of a transgressor is hard. The life of a Christian these days and times is hard. I found a note that my grandfather wrote in his old guitar case. It was one of the last sermons that he ever preached. And he titled it, Being a Christian is Hard This Day. And I believe that because he was an old man of God. And that was back in the 70s. And it hadn't got as bad as it's got today. Being a Christian is going to get tougher for you. It's going to be more persecution. They're already wanting to take the Bibles out of schools. It's hard to get anything in school where your children can learn about God unless you get them in a Christian school. And you got to be careful with them these days. You don't know what they're teaching them. But he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You need to, this morning, I guess my question in the message would be, if you can stop for a minute and not see yourself and just see Christ and the change that He's made in you. Okay, if you get there and you can't see a change He's made in you, then you need to be ready for that change. You need to be saved. You need to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. That means that you're always going to be fruitful. You're always going to be abounding in the work of God and the things of God. You're not going to get away from them. But if you don't do these things, you can fall. David, it's easy to fall these days. It don't take... I mean, you can have a testimony that's been good for 20 years and you get seen somewhere you shouldn't ought to be, even if you was there for the right reason, you done lost that testimony. People are going to start talking about you. You may have stopped to use a phone somewhere or went in there to get somebody to help them out. Next thing you know, they're talking about you like a dog. But if you make your calling election sure, it's not going to happen. For so such an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gets here to the end. He says, verse 12, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I want to just remind you of a few things this morning and then we'll shut up and go home. Number one is that Christ died for you. Everybody in here. He died for the world. I believe John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That's everybody. There's not just a chosen few that can be saved. Everybody can be saved. It's of your own free will. That's one thing I want to remind you of this morning. You can be saved today. Another thing I want to remind you of is that if you are saved, you need to act like you're saved. You need to live like you're saved. That's why lots of folks that are lost don't come to church, don't have no interest in church, because they see the folks that are saved and they think, well, what's different about them than me? Amen. They say, well, why do I want what they got when they ain't got nothing? I dress like y'all do when I'm out from here. I got my blue jeans and t-shirts on. I put this suit on in respect for the office. Sometimes I think preachers look more like loggers, and I don't like them. Amen. But you ought to dress respectable for the place you stand. Amen. It's respect for the office, the pulpit. But I try and act. And that word act just means live like a Christian. We need to live like Christians, the election, the calling that we have. You don't go hanging out with your buddies at the places you shouldn't be and then come into church on Sunday morning and think everything's okay. Amen. We must compare ourselves. Don't compare yourself to others. That's where we get mixed up. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate example. None of us can be like Him, but the Scripture tells us we should strive to be like Him. You ought to try to live like Him. Be perfect and righteous and holy and sinless more and more each day. If you compare yourself to others, you're just going to find faults with them. And say, well, I'm better than him. Well, you may be in one point, but in another point, you might not be. You need to compare yourself. And you must not compromise. We can't compromise on the Word of God. If we do that, we're backing up. He says there that, I put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Most of y'all in here knows your Bible pretty good. And I pray you keep it that way. You stay in the Word of God. You stay up on the Word of God. That way when folks come through here and they preach and teach things that you say, that ain't right. You know it's not right. Amen? And you be established in the present truth. He says in verse 13, yea, I think it meet, fit. In other words, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We need to be stirred up these days. As I thought on these things and read it and studied it last night, I couldn't help but think about, number one, where He's brought me from. You know how you used to be before you got saved? You've been changed. Change is good. I pray that God continues to change. He continues to change things around here. He continues to change things around the world. Things is going to change. I pray He continues to do that. As long as He's doing that, we know He's in control. Amen. I guess you could say it's an unchanging God in an ever-changing world. He changed everything for us. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When He did that, He changed the point that you had a sinful, wicked life and an eternal destination for hell, that you might be changed. There's going to be continuing change. We're going to be changed. The Scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye, this old corruption will put on incorruption. You're going to be changed again then. These old bodies is falling apart. Mine hurts and aches all the time. I know y'all do. It's going to be changed. Change, change, change.